Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. And we're going to go to verses 1 through 12. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, you'll find that on page 450. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. We read these wonderful words. It says this: "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent His rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father, the son that He delights in." Great words. Look forward to hearing what God has to say to us this morning. God bless.
Our special music for this morning is ill and unable to do it. So we're not going to have special music. We are going to go into the message, and Pastor Homer has promised me that he would like me forever if we go through this and I let you out early. Wasn't that what you said, brother? That's really not what he said. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to open up once again to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3. I absolutely love the book of Proverbs. And as I was going back through this, and I've basically I read the book of Proverbs all the time, but in my personal time, I come over early in the morning, I shut myself in the office, and I generally do a little bit of reading, and then I'll make a post on Facebook and then that kind of thing. And I usually do whatever I'm doing wherever I'm reading that in my devotions. And then I go to Proverbs and I read a chapter. And it's just such a blessing to me. And as I was looking at this particular passage of Scripture a couple of weeks ago, it just kind of impressed me that God promises so many amazing things to us if we will really pay attention to what He has to say. And if we'll pay attention to what His Word has to say, and if we will take our lives and put our lives under His direction and under His care. And as I was looking at this passage of Scripture, I was struck by how many people that do not believe that there's really any benefit to serving God. And they view God more as an imposition than anything. He is an interference in their lives because, you know, they kind of want to do what they want to do. And they want to go their own way and do their own thing. And so it's kind of like they're going, serve the Lord. Well, what benefit is there to that? Well, this passage gives us some of the benefits that come from determining that we're going to put ourselves under the Lord's care, under the Lord's direction, and we're going to live our lives according to His program and His plan. And if we will do that, we'll find that our lives are blessed. And I want to share with you out of this particular passage, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, six things this morning. And by the way, I couldn't even come up with the same letters to start stuff with. So I'm sorry, you're just going to have to deal with that. But I want you to notice the very first thing that Solomon writes as he is going through this particular passage, as he's talking to his son. And it's kind of like the book of Proverbs is interesting because it's kind of like a father-son conversation. And Solomon is telling him, look, if you really want to be wise, if you really want to be blessed, if you really want to be prosperous, if you really want to be strong, if you really want to have courage, if you really want to have a faith that grows and becomes what God wants it to be and what God wants you to be, then here are some things that you can live by. And he comes to this third chapter in the book of Proverbs, and he begins it with, my son. My son. I remember being a father when my children were little. They're all grown up now. But when they were little. And I can remember, you know, when you would finally see the light go off. Did you ever have that experience with your kids? And suddenly, you're going, yes! They finally get it. And I'm sure that that's what Solomon's going through. As he is beginning to share this particular information, he's going, my son, don't forget my teaching. Man, open up the vault, plug it in, and leave it plugged in. And in fact, don't put it back in the back where it gets dusty, but put this information in a place where you always have availability to it. Because as you avail yourself to these things, there are some blessings, some benefits that are going to come your way. And so, my son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Now, that's the command. Let your heart keep my commandments. Don't forget these things. Keep focused. Keep them in the center of your brain. Keep them in the front of your brain. Go over these things over and over and over. Let your heart keep my commandments. And here's the benefit. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. In other words, what are the benefits? Long life and peace. Long life and peace. Peace is one of those things that this world is crying for. Now, the difference is this world is crying for peace as the cessation of war or the stopping of war. Where God is promising to stop the internal turmoil that comes in our spiritual mind. You see, when we keep God's commandments before us, and when we determine that we're going to live our lives by those principles, the natural benefit of that is the peace that passes our understanding. We don't fully grasp it. How is it that in the midst of this world, things blowing up, things are you know, there's all kinds of craziness going on, and yet we have that inner settledness of the peace of God? Well, you see, it's a benefit. It's a promise that God has given us. Long life. I was kind of interested in that concept of long life because I've known some wonderful people that have passed, but they passed very young in life. But you know what? Their influence goes on and continues on. And so literally, their impact in life continues to grow. And that thought just kind of drilled in me that long life may not be measured in years, It may be measured in influence. And what type of an influence do I want to be? What kind of a life do I want to live? When it comes the time, whenever that may be, when the Lord says, Srigliano, you're done. Come on up. Whenever that might be. How do I want people to remember me? Well, I'm glad he's gone. Or, you know, I learned something here. And it has made my life easier. See, that's what I hope for. And I think that if we would all take a moment and we would look at our own lives and stop to think, how do I want to be remembered? We would probably do things a whole lot different. So we need to pay attention to those things. Keep my commandments. Don't forget them. Keep them focused. And have long life and peace. Secondly, we find that the next benefit is that we have good favor and a reputation, if you will, with God and with man. Look at verses 3 and 4. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so that you will find favor and good repute or good reputation in the sight of God and man. Those are important individuals. They really are. It kind of tickles me. I'm guilty of it, and I'm going to be honest with you, there are probably times in your life when you're guilty of it. Where we step back and we say, I really don't care what someone thinks. Yeah, you do. Yeah, I do. I really care. Why? Because I want to have a good reputation with man. Because you see, the type of reputation that I have with man reflects upon the type of an influence I am for God and His kingdom. Stop and think about it. A couple of weeks ago, I wrote on my Facebook thing that it's not good to give somebody a piece of your mind because you don't have that much to spare. And stop and think about that. And about 2 o'clock this afternoon, someone's going to say, oh, I get it. But when we have the attitude of what others think is unimportant, we have the wrong attitude. We really do. We should be greatly concerned about what others think. And if we live our lives in a good reputation with God, we're going to have that type of a reputation with man too. Because what's going to happen is we're going to be people of honor. We're going to be people of integrity. We're going to be people of respect. People may not choose to serve the God that we love or choose to give their lives to Jesus Christ. But they'll still look at us with some respect. And they'll say, but you know what? They honored God. And that's a benefit. When people remember us, are we more concerned about their thought, about what our influence is towards God and our fellow man, or what we did? How much money we made? How much popularity we had? Or did we honor God? That's more important. Did we get our way? Or did we do things God's way? That's what's important. And that's what builds the benefit of a good reputation. We find favor and good reputation with God and with man. Number three. The third benefit of living and remembering the teachings of God's Word and the commandments is this. We get a straight path. We get a straight path. Look at verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord part of the time. Let's hear it. Thank you. Somebody said no. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. A straight path. When I was growing up, I was raised in the big city of Rexford, Pennsylvania. About 300 people, and none of them liked each other. I mean, it was, your typical small town. By the way, there were absolutely no secrets in Rexford, Pennsylvania. Absolutely none. Everybody knew everybody else and knew what everybody else was doing and enjoyed stirring the pot. That was small town, Rexford, Pennsylvania. And we had this road that got us over the hill to the next little burg called Farmer's Valley. So you could go from Rexford to Farmer's Valley by going over this road called Moody Hollow. And it lived up to its name, because when you went on that road, by the time you got to the end, you were pretty moody. Because it was a little tiny road that didn't go over the hill this way. It went over the hill like this. And it just kept going and going and going. And it was all woods. And in the wintertime, it was absolutely gorgeous, because the snow would come, the real heavy snows, and the trees would hang over the roads. And you just kind of had a path through there if you could make it up the hill. I mean, it was up like this, but it was just all over, and it was crooked. And I'm thinking, who in the world, in their brilliant mind, decided it would be better to go over this hill in 5 miles than it would in the 1 mile it would take you going straight over the thing? And I have no idea how they came up with that concept, but that thing was crooked. And it's the way our lives are when we're not honoring God. I mean, we're going all over the place. We're finding ourselves involved in all kinds of things and in all kinds of messes. But when we determine we're going to give God our whole heart, when we're going to honor Him with everything that we are, He takes the crooked path and He makes it straight. Narrow is the road, and straight is the path that leads to eternal life. God straightens up the messes of our lives when we completely yield ourselves to Him. When we determine that we are going to live every aspect of our lives to Him. Notice three different times in these two verses the phrase come up. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Bam! There's the three things. Lord, all my heart. Me, set aside. I'm not going to trust my own understanding. And I'm going to acknowledge You in everything that is my life. God says, do that, and you got a straight shot. I'll make the road straight. If you ever noticed, we don't like things black and white, we like them gray. You ever noticed that? We like them black and white for everybody else, but we'd like them gray for us. That doesn't bless anyone. God's word is simple, it's direct, and it's plain. God's grace is simple, it is direct, and it is plain. God's commands are simple, they're direct, and they're plain. And let's not gray them up or muddy them up and try to make excuses for ourselves while we hold others to a different set of standards. Honor God in all of your ways. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. In everything that you do, acknowledge Him, and you'll have a straight path. That is a benefit. You don't get taken onto the sidebars that come in life. A straight path. Number four. The next benefit is healing and strength. Look at verses 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. In other words, don't think more highly of yourself than what you ought to. All that in a can of corn. That's what I am. All that in a can of corn. You know, and there's a lot of people that think that. I am God's gift to whatever. You've heard the statements. I have too. We have looked at those guys when we were back in high school. Obviously, this doesn't happen with adults. Doesn't happen with any adults here. But nonetheless, back in high school, you would see the guy who was the jock. He generally was the quarterback of the football team, who dated the head cheerleader but flirted with them all, because as the statement was, he was God's gift to women. And unfortunately, a lot of people think that way about themselves in everything. I'm God's gift to that church. I'm God's gift to that community. I'm God's gift to... Well, no. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Wisdom in our own eyes is simply arrogance. Arrogance is repulsive to God, where humility is honored by God. Blessed are the humble in spirit. Check out Jesus' blessed ours in Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. And I like to think of them as the Beatitudes. In other words, let these attitudes be a part of your existence. And you'll find that humility is interwoven in every one of those attitudes. God is a gift to you. And that's an important thing to remember. But look at what he says here. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. That means revere Him. That means respect Him. Doesn't mean fright. It means reverence the Lord. Revere the Lord. Fear the Lord. And turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Healing to your body, healing that comes from the hand of God, and strength, refreshment for your bones. What would an individual be without bones? Did you ever stop to think about that? Dan, stand up. If you didn't have bones, would you be able to do that? No? You'd be a bowl of Jell-O. That's absolutely tough to work out, wouldn't it? Yeah. You couldn't do much running and jogging, right?
No, only downhill.
Only downhill. you wouldn't be able to fulfill the commands that your wife gives you. Dan, get out there and shovel that snow. Go out there and do that kind of stuff, right?
That sounds good.
Thank you. You can be seated. Diane, that was a hint. Okay, but bones give us strength, stability, form, shape. Right? And we want strong bones. Can I tell you something? Following the Word of God, honoring God in every aspect of your life, gives you spiritual bones, gives you strength, gives you courage. It heals. Following God and honoring Him heals what you have messed up through the principles of sin, through what I have messed up through the principles of sin and by following that. But when we are fully yielded and honoring God, we receive spiritual health, we receive spiritual strength, and we are able to stand against anything that the enemy throws our way. Honor God. Fear Him. Revere Him. Have reverence, and God will bring you healing and strength. That's a benefit. The next benefit, number 5, is prosperity in tough times. Prosperity in tough times. Now, before anybody goes away and has the wrong idea, I'm not talking pink Cadillacs in the garage and $1 million in the bank account. All right? I've heard enough of those guys. I'm tired of it because that's not what the Lord is meaning here. But I want you to know, don't sell God short either. Look at verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. How do we do that? Thank you. By tithing. Honor the Lord. You know, when we bring the tithe to God's house, He blesses us in other ways. He does take care of every need that we have. And that's what Solomon is saying here. He's saying, look, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Don't give God the leftovers. Give Him the first fruits. And God will bless you. And God will help you. And now look at what he says. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So that you will have, you see, everything that is necessary and needed. And when you have difficult times, like our nation is going through right now, it's an interesting thought. What if our government tithed? I never thought of that. Maybe we ought to call them and recommend that our government tithe. I'll wait to hear what you hear. Anyways, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. You know, as the tithe is brought to the storehouse, God opens up the windows of heaven and pours out on us a blessing that we can't contain. That's an interesting thing. Malachi chapter 4, go ahead and read through it. When God is coming down on the nation of Israel, He's calling them a bunch of thieves. That's what he's saying. How have we robbed God? What does a robber do? He thieves, right? Takes that is not his. When we don't tithe, we're taking that which is not ours. That's an important concept for us to remember. All right? But when we properly tithe, God takes and blesses because he's promised he would. He can be trusted. I wish that we could say, okay, government, I'm going to increase my taxes willfully because I know that you'll use them properly. But we can't do that. But you know what? With God's tithe, he'll use it right. When that goes to support missions, when it goes to support outreach ministries, when it goes to support God's plan and God's program, he pours out on those who generously give of the first fruits. Solomon says, son, pay your tithe, and God will bless you. So it's important that we understand that. Number six. The sixth blessing is that we have the assurance of God's presence in our faith. Look at verses 11 and 12. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Has God ever had to discipline you? He doesn't do that because he's the big mean bully in the sky. He does that because he loves you. Today's world hates our children. I want you to understand that. Today's world hates our children. And the ones that they can't get rid of by abortion, they try to get rid of by lack of discipline. I'm saying that just as straight as I can. When they say to you, don't you discipline your kids, the hidden agenda is because we hate them. That's what it's about. A father who truly loves his children will discipline them. A God who truly loves his children will discipline them. When we receive the discipline of the Lord, we know that he loves us. When I was a kid, my father had an interesting way of getting my attention. It was about that wide. It used to hang on a barber's chair. You guys know what I'm talking about. And he had an amazing gift of being able to take that thing that just hung there and apply it so I would get smarter. It's called applying the rod of discipline to the seat of wisdom. And he could do that. Really well. You want to know something? I didn't grow up hating my father for that. But I grew up realizing that he wanted me to be the best individual that I could be. We didn't hold the same religious beliefs for a good many years. But I still respected the fact that he loved me enough to discipline me. God reveals his love for us not just in forgiveness, but in discipline. You know what the book of Proverbs tells us? The father who hates his son, refuses to discipline him. The father who hates his son refuses to discipline him. I'd rather have the love of God and the assurance of my faith by God disciplining me when I step out of line than God demonstrating his disdain for me by just letting me go my own way. Benefits of serving the Lord: long life and peace, good favor and reputation with God and with men, a straight path, healing and strength, prosperity in difficult times, and the assurance of God's love and presence. What amazing benefits. That's better than Social Security and a lot more trustworthy. Let's stand.